number 9, Proverbs chapter number 9. It's already been a good day to be in the house of the Lord, but here's the truth. Any day in the house of the Lord ought to be a good day, amen? Whether you come away feeling rebuked and then to the point of repentance, that's a good day. And whether you come and God just exhorts you and lifts you up as his child, that's a good day. So really any day to be in the house of the Lord is a good day. I want to say how appropriate the play put on by the teenagers was as we head into Hampton to Heaven, amen. And so we're looking forward to that. And I reference that verse in the message for Sunday. So you'll just be doubly blessed by that as well. This is the last chapter in the book of Proverbs. It begins a series before we begin a series of pithy sayings that contrast good and evil. That word pithy means precisely meaningful. It means forceful and brief. And that's the way the Proverbs are. They're very meaningful, they're forceful, and yet they're still brief. But yet we can glean a lot of knowledge from those words. This chapter here in chapter number 9 really contrasts between wisdom, and we could say good, and folly, which is evil, in a very extensive manner compared to the other 8 chapters. In these first 6 verses, we saw that wisdom began by building 7 pillars, and then she had prepared a great feast. And so far, we've looked at this idea of wisdom's house, her hospitality, and then last week we saw her help. Tonight, we're going to begin to look at this idea of the discipline of wisdom found in verses 7 through verse number 18. That word discipline is defined as this: the ability to control and direct one's behavior. The ability to control and direct one's behavior. Heeding wisdom that's given by the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God will enable you to do exactly that. So let's read. We'll read just 3 verses for tonight. I think that's about all the time we'll have for tonight. And then we'll press on with this thought of the discipline of wisdom. So who would read verses 7 through verse number 9 of Proverbs, chapter number 9 today? All right, thank you, brother. Father, we come before you this evening. Father, we're so thankful for the work that's already been done in our hearts as you have worked through our teachers, Father, and our youth pastor working with these young people, Father. I'm so grateful that these young people are learning the great doctrinal truths of the Word of God. Oh, Father, we pray as they build upon that foundation over the next number of years, Father, that the time they get to be teenagers moving into Pastor Jonathan's class on Wednesday, Father, that they would have a good working knowledge of these truths found in your Word. I pray, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God would do his work as a teacher to these young children. But Father, not only to them as well, for the teenagers as they meet here this evening, and then, Father, for us as well. I pray, Father, that we will be open and receptive to the learning he has for us tonight. So, Lord, we pray and ask these things. In Jesus' name we pray. So we're looking at tonight the discipline of wisdom found in verses 7 through verse number 18. But notice in verses 7 through verse number 9, if you're taking notes, the confronting. Here's the truth. No one likes confrontation. Now, I'm sure there's somebody that likes confrontation. There's always someone somewhere that loves to confront people. But I tell you what, I'm not one of them. I don't like confrontation. I don't like to confront, or I like to be confronted. But the day is going to come when you and I are both are going to be or will need to confront someone. And so when we have to do that, there's a right way and a wrong way to be able to do that. And I think it's outlined in this passage for us. And when that time comes, when you're either confronted or you're the one confronting someone, what is your response going to be? How are you going to handle that when someone puts their nose to your nose and begins to confront you? How are you going to handle that? How are you going to respond to that? What are you going to do? Are you going to deck them? Are you going to step back and say, oh me, oh my? I think that's something that we all need to learn how to do. In Proverbs chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, we find that the writer of Proverbs begins to examine the response to the use of wisdom in this area when you and I are being confronted, or when we have to confront someone else. And it gives us some very wise comments on what you can expect and do in this area of confrontation because of wisdom. I can guarantee you this, that you'll be glad that you prayed for wisdom ahead of time. This verse in James chapter number 1 and verse number 5 is familiar to many of us, but oftentimes we forget this. The Bible said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God and give it to all men liberally, and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. I don't know about you, but this is one of my daily prayers, that God would give me wisdom, godly wisdom. Now, I don't want worldly wisdom. There's plenty of that to go around. I can come up with that by my own self, by my own flesh, by my own mortal mind, but I need godly wisdom as I live and walk and move and pastor this church. Notice in verse number 7 and the first part of verse number 8, we notice the experience required, the experience required. The Bible said, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man gathereth himself a blot. Reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. To help us understand this passage in verse number 7 in the first part of verse number 8, I want you to notice two key words in these verses. The first one is reprove. Can somebody tell me their definition of the word reprove? It might not be the exact definition found in one of the many dictionaries we have, but what would you say as a way of understanding this verse? What does reprove mean? Anybody? Yes, John, then we'll get to instruct. Yes, that's a good answer. Yes, it is. Correct, yes. Anybody else? Anybody else want to venture out into it? All right, I came up with this because I looked it up on the internet and in the dictionary. It says to speak to somebody in a way that shows disapproval of something he or she has done. So we talk about reproving someone, we're speaking to them, maybe like you're speaking to your child or maybe a worker that works underneath you in the company which God has placed you at to provide you with a living, and that you're showing disapproval of something that they might have done. But then there's a second word, rebuke. What does that word rebuke mean? It's related probably to reprove, but it means something a little bit different. What would you say it means, Ed? Confront, yes, that's great. A great application of that word. Somebody else. To stop, shut down, yeah, that's a great answer as well. Somebody else. Ben, was your hand raised? No, you say no. Katie hasn't rebuked me lately. I don't know what that means. No, I'm only kidding. Yes. Okay. Yeah, don't do it that way. Stop doing what you do. Don't do it that way. Yes. To go against, yes. And again, the dictionary says this, rebuke is a reprimand or an expression of criticism or disapproval. So while these two words are similar, they're still a little bit different. In this verse, you'll find that the Bible speaks about two different kinds of people. Can you tell me who the two different kind of people are? Boom, you have to look in your Bible. Saved and unsaved, that's a great answer, yes. John? The wise and the foolish. All right, look at the verse and read the verse. What does it say? The scorner, yes. And what's the other one? The wise man, the scorner and a wicked man. Verse number 7. He that reproveth a scorner gets his own shame. He that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. So, let's talk about what a scorner is. A scorner is a person who reacts to counsel with contempt or disdain. So in other words, a scorner is someone who we would say never accepts correction or criticism. Do you know anybody like that? They never accept correction or criticism, and they think other people really need their opinions. That's the one that kind of bothers me. They think they have to put their 2 cents into everything that they hear, that conversation is going around them. The scorner is one who is very, very easily offended, and he believes this, that he is above everybody else, and his opinions are always right, his opinions are always best, and he puts himself up here, and everybody else is down here. And if someone seems to threaten his superiority, he scoffs at them, he mocks them, and then guess what? He mouths off to them to try to get them to be quiet. We see this was illustrated in Haman's attitude toward Mordecai in Esther chapter 3 and verse number 6. We find it this attitude with King Zedekiah and his princes, that they hated the prophet Jeremiah for telling them the truth that they were going to be overrun in Jeremiah chapter number 38. We also find this same kind of attitude in the life of John the Baptist when he rebuked King Herod for his adultery, where John was put in prison and later he was beheaded in Matthew chapter 3, verses 1 through verse number 10. So we find that there is a scoffer. But then the Bible says there's another type of man in here, and that's the wicked man. A wicked man is someone who has total disregard for justice, righteousness, truth, honor, and virtue. They're evil in their thought and life. You might even say they're depraved, they're not sinful, and some even go far as to say that most of the time these people that are wicked are also criminals as well. And I'm reminded of the ultimate doom of a wicked person. Malachi chapter 4 and verse number 1 says this, "For behold, a day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day of the Lord shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, and it shall leave them neither root nor branch." So the Bible in this passage tells us three things that happen when you try to correct the scorners or when you try to correct the wicked. The first one is shame. When we speak about this term shame, they'll try to attempt to humiliate us, and they'll try to insult you, to reduce you to a state of feeling inferior or to a state of dishonor. Then the Bible says that you'll be a blot. In other words, you'll be a blemish or you'll be a spot. And the sense is simply this, that this blot is a rude communication that belittles offenders unjustly. So oftentimes when someone has this blot, the Bible says, it's not given justly, it's given unjustly. And they're really trying to belittle you with rude communications and rude speech. But then the Bible says there'll be shame, there'll be blot, but then notice there'll be hatred. And that word hatred literally means dislike intensely or feels aversion towards you. So we find that the scorner and the wicked person think that their ways are always right. Turn to Proverbs 18 and verse 19. Proverbs 18 and verse 19. And who would read that for the pastor this evening? Proverbs 18 and verse 19. All right, thank you. All right. And so a scorner and wicked think their ways are always right. And these types of people do not receive correction very well. I think one Bible commentator put it this way. The instruction arrow seems to bounce off their target and ricochet to strike the one who launched it. Shame and blot describe the insult. The embarrassment, the sense of rejection that comes from reaching out to a victim of entrenched foolishness, a scorner, and getting your hand slashed in the effort. So according to these verses, wisdom is the discernment to know who to correct and when not to correct that person. That's really what biblical wisdom is. You can know this by understanding the outcome of the conversation. How is the person that you're trying to correct going to receive this correction? How are they going to perceive this correction? That's really what true wisdom is. And it's really knowing, is it the right time to speak to this person or not the right time? I think Jesus embodies God's wisdom. Becoming more like Him isn't just about minimizing the sin that we have in our life. Although that's important. We ought to have minimizing sin in our life. It also entails developing this discernment here that Proverbs chapter 9 is speaking about. Being like Jesus means being aware of your circumstances. It involves recognizing when to correct other people and when to hold back because doing so might worsen a situation. I've had countless conversations with people, and they say, well, this person did this, and I'm going to say this. And I say sometimes, well, that's going to worsen a situation. Sometimes it's better not to say anything. It also requires knowing when to avoid being a coward, and you're just afraid to say something, and then when to stand up and speak at the appropriate moment. And so that's where this wise discernment ought to be in our lives. There's also an implication in this verse that if you're the kind of person who never accepts correction, that you as well are a scorner. And if you get angry when someone confronts you, guess what? You're a scorner. But if you humbly accept this correction because you know that you haven't arrived and probably what they're saying is right, then guess what? You're wise and you'll love that person who had the courage to come to confront you. You know, that takes a big person to be able to do that. It takes a lot of biblical wisdom to say to someone, thank you for coming and speaking to me. Thank you for coming and confronting me. I was wrong, and you were right to come to me. You know, how do you handle confrontation in your life? How do you handle that? Do you react with anger? Do you sit there and listen to what they have to say and ask God to share the truth of what they're saying to your own life? Do you have any relationships where someone has the freedom to ask you tough questions? There ought to be people in your life that you can allow them to ask those tough questions. We all need accountability. We all need to have accountability with each other and accountability before God. But how do you handle that when they come asking those accountability questions? I think wisdom is the ability to both hear but also respond correctly to criticism so that you don't repeat the same mistakes over and over again. Well, we see in the first part of verse 7, the first part of verse number 8, we see the experience required. And let's look at the exhortation heeded in the last part of verse number 8. Notice what it says. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. I think the results of rebuking a wise man are different than the results of rebuking a scornful or a wicked man. Listen, good people, wise, biblically wise people will not scorn a good message. Rebuke can be helpful. Jesus rebuked people. Paul rebuked Peter. And because we can learn from that rebuke that comes in our life. Proverbs 15:31 says this, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. Proverbs 17 and verse 10 tells us this, a reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. You see, rebuke is helpful for those who are willing to be teachable. Proverbs 15 and verse 32 tells us this, he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. I don't know about you, that's what I want. I want godly wisdom. I want good understanding. And by being teachable, you and I become wiser with God's wisdom. Proverbs 1 and verse 5 says this, a wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain unto wise counsel. And we'll close with this thought. Those who are wise will receive both the message and the messenger that God has sent their way to confront them. So as we leave today, how do you handle confrontation? Whether you're the one confronting or you're the one on the receiving side, a wise person in biblical wisdom would know how to know when is the appropriate time and when is not the appropriate time. And oftentimes, we think it's appropriate, but after a season of prayer, we'll discover that it's not the appropriate time. God has this perfect timing when to confront someone. So sometimes, if you feel, I need to rush in there and take care of this situation and confront someone, I urge you to step back, pray a little bit more, see if it's God's timing in that matter. Amen. Let's pray. Father,